Welcome to Almond Essentials. I'm Emily Fleischman, Vice President of Global Market Development at the Almond Board of California. With growing consumer interest in plant-based eating and diets, we are seeing a host of related new products in the marketplace. Innova Market Insights research shows that alternative dairy product launches not only include milk alternatives, but also products like plant-based ice creams, spreads, and dips. But what exactly is the alternative dairy consumer looking for? And how has the dairy alternative sector changed over time to accommodate consumer lifestyle changes? On this episode, I'm sitting with Luann Williams, co-founder and Global Insights Director at Innova Market Insights, to find out. Luann, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today. For our listeners, Luann is based in the Netherlands, where global market research firm Innova Market Insights is headquartered. As an expert on trends driving the food and beverage industry, she provides a unique perspective on what's coming next in the industry across the globe. So, Luann, before we get into the industry itself, it would be interesting to know more about who's driving interest in the alternative dairy product space. Almond milk is often thought of first as it relates to alternative dairy, especially here in the U.S., and I know it appeals to consumers for a mix of dietary and ethical or environmental considerations. It's amazing. A 2021 consumer survey from Data Central reported that 75% of alternative milk users in the U.S. consume almond milk monthly, with many of them drinking it at least once per week. Can you tell us more about the alternative dairy consumer and what they might be looking for in the alternative dairy products, and what consumers are challenging manufacturers to deliver on here in the near future?
So, Emily, I have tons of insights around this. So as I was going through it, I picked out a few things that I thought were kind of interesting. And also maybe just to note that there are regional variations. I think our audience today is very U.S. focused, but I think it's interesting to maybe compare some of the regional differences as well, because also there are a lot of ethnic variation also across the U.S. where this can also be impacted, because that's important when it comes to purchase drivers and what kind of claims consumers are looking for. So if we look globally, you mentioned the consumer survey that 75% of alternative milk users in the U.S. consume it monthly. If we look globally, 70% of consumers globally eat dairy alternatives at least once a month, which is just massive. I think that really highlights why my world is definitely consumed with plant-based. If we look in the U.S., only 35% of consumers say that they never eat it. So 65% of Americans also eat it. So that's super interesting. So there's a huge market. What's also interesting is that we most often hear flexitarian in the context of really talking about meat, but it's not just meat. 28% of Americans say that they eat regular and plant-based dairy. So flexitarian can work here as well. If you look at other regions in Asia and Latin America, it's much higher. And I think that is probably driven also by lactose intolerance is most pronounced. So that's interesting as well to think about in the context of this, when you're looking at who your consumer is and what are they concerned about. There's a lot of consumers who want to eat free from, which includes lactose free, but they're definitely, well, as I just mentioned, like Asians and Latin American consumers who are more lactose intolerant. So that could be an important purchase driver as well. If we also look globally, the U.S. leads in sales growth, and in Europe, the biggest growth is in the U.K. If we look at what main purchase drivers, health is still number one. And we saw this year for the first time when we looked, we did a big survey for our top 10 trends. One thing that did happen this year when it comes to plant-based, the environment and sustainability went from position number three to position number two. But health is the driver for this. Consumers see dairy alternatives as being healthier. So that's super important. But we also see that there's about a third of consumers who don't consume plant-based because they say it doesn't deliver on taste and texture. So I think all of this, again, it's the same things we talk about all the time, but it's still really important to also think about that in the context of what's happening in dairy alternatives. Consumers say that they, well, as I just mentioned, they're very reluctant to compromise on taste. They also tell us that they expect the taste and texture of dairy alternatives to match the original products. There is a thinner mouthfeel. And so going forward, this could have a bigger impact on the dairy category and what consumers expect. And then that's going to have a knock-on effect and the taste and texture of other products that are traditionally dairy or dairy containing, in terms of what consumers expect and also what they will accept. Thinking about some of the other claims that we see, well, maybe first let's look at the base of the products. Soy is still the most familiar to consumers, but almond is the most accepted plant-based milk. So I think that's interesting to remember. And then if, again, thinking about this, taking a global lens, in Europe, organic is huge when it comes to plant-based. No added sugar is very important. Fortified is more prominent in other regions, with the exception of Latin America. In the U.S., we still see a lot of GMO-free claims. And one thing that is very different to the rest of the world is the focus on protein. So it's by far the region or the country where we see the most high protein claims. And it's about double than we see in Europe. So that's a huge difference. In Latin America, lactose-free is the number one positioning. And then, as I mentioned, in Europe, it's organic. And in Asia, it's around clean label. So no additives and preservatives. So there's some regional differences there.
Luann, that is a host of things to think about across the globe. Thank you so much for digging into all that. So many different motivations for why people are looking at the alternative dairy space. And it's exciting, and it's opened a lot of doors. I myself, have kind of seen this come to life in different markets. I was in Mexico a few years ago, and we're really just shocked to see how developed the alternative dairy space was in that market, almost more developed than even in the U.S. It was surprising. And, really looking forward to seeing how innovation evolves over time, especially in markets like Asia, where soy really has led the way there. It'd be fun to see the new products that are coming. So in terms of dietary appeal, we see that many people choose almond milk for a host of reasons. Certainly looking to consume in the plant-based space is one of them, but also sometimes it has to do with reduced calories or reduced sugar. And almond milk is great because it can offer that dairy-free, vegan, lactose-free, many of the things you were mentioning earlier, almond milk can offer. And it also has no cholesterol, saturated fat. And then, environmental appeal, you mentioned that continues to rise, or the concern for the planet continues to rise in terms of consumers' interests and how they choose things. And we do see challenges, for transparency and the ability to educate consumers on those benefits. And alternative milks, do have pros and cons when you consider the environmental impact. Water certainly comes up, greenhouse gas emissions and land use. There's an interesting University of Oxford study, and it examined the environmental impact of various plant-based milks. And looking at it through a broader lens, it looked at land use and greenhouse gas emissions, and those are really two areas where almonds win. So now that we know more about the alternative dairy consumer, let's just shift gears a bit. I'm curious about how alternative dairy products have evolved over the years. Are there any specific drivers of innovation for alternative dairy manufacturers and creators?
Well, I think we had the hints already and that we were talking about earlier, getting it closer to dairy. And I think some of the things that really pop out to me are fermented products, things like probiotics, and immune health. And these are definitely things that we see more and more. As I said, it makes it more like the original. It adds another health edge. So these are definitely things. I think another thing that we saw more and more, and when the European show started back last year, you saw a lot of premiumization as well. So really, very indulgent desserts using plant milks as a base. So that's definitely a change. And I think also if you think about even some of the other categories, things like cheeses and spreads and so on, again, getting the different, a lot of things are based on coconut, but you see more and more things based on almond milk or maybe some of the other alternatives as well. So finding that base that meets the taste and texture and becomes a good good substrate for if you're doing something indulgent on top of that or something super functional with extra health benefits, that's something as well. I think other things that we're going to start to see is more hybridization. So everywhere where you see milk, if that is, in tea, if it's in coffee capsules that have milk in it, but I think we'll absolutely expect to see a plant-based version of all of those. So anywhere where milk appears, we're seeing more and more of that. Again, a lot more emphasis on sustainability. You just mentioned a lot of metrics there. I think that's something that's changing and evolving all the time, that people are starting to realize there's not just a single metric that applies to everything. It's much more complicated than that, which is a very good thing. And then I think also looking at some of the other dairy technologies and, you know, things like different types of fermentation, yeast fermentation, not all, but a lot of consumers, again, there's some regional differences as well, are quite open to that. So what other technologies can be applied that can bring added benefits? So maybe that's a bit further out, but these are definitely some of the things that we see happening next.
So more recently, you know, it's been interesting to see the different forms of almonds that are getting added in, often to boost the protein content. So with defatted almond flour or almond protein powder. And if you don't know, defatted almond flour is just finely ground almond flour with a certain percentage of oil pressed out. And it makes it very easy to incorporate it because it has a very neutral taste compared to some of the other plant-based proteins. And then even other forms like regular almond flour or almond butter have had some really interesting uses. We've seen companies incorporate almond flour into cheese, so it helps provide that more crumbly texture. And other brands are mixing in almond butter to enhance the creaminess or thickness within the product. So it's exciting to see what's out there right now. I'm really excited to see where things are headed. And certainly this space is going to constantly evolve. More recently, obviously, the pandemic has been something that has been on all of our minds and within our lives. You know, how has that affected things within the alternative dairy industry? You know, we're 2 years into the pandemic. You know, what trends are being amplified or are changing?
Oh, I think one of the biggest things that we're seeing is this race back to health. Functional foods are back. We really come full circle back to the mid-1990s when we saw the first big launches of probiotics and prebiotics and new uses of dietary fiber. There is absolutely a focus on health. I mean, we've seen immunity claims explode in the past year, for example, but consumers are really seeking out ways to introduce health products with extra benefits. We've all had a 2-year masterclass on the importance of staying healthy. So that's probably one of the biggest things. And as we talked about earlier, health is the main purchase driver for dairy alternatives. People think they're healthier, all plant-based foods, but that includes the dairy alternatives as well. So that is the big opportunity. So where I mentioned adding healthy benefits, there's so many interesting products that combine other healthy ingredients, you know, adaptogens or just so many different things. And almond milk is a great, or almond milk and plant milks in general become a very good base for these products because they carry other flavors well. They can be used as a base in soups or other types of drinks or protein drinks and so on. So I think this increased focus on health is going to be one of the big things that we will continue to see a lot of innovation in this space when it comes to dairy alternatives.
I know we're seeing almond milk as a dairy-free base for probiotic yogurts, and I think the food industry is going to continue to discover more about how things like gut health play into immunity. You talked about how we've been on this masterclass related to health, and I think, you know, I talked about gut health as well, and that's certainly going to be part of it. You know, and knowing that the gut functions as a gateway to our immune systems, the Alma Board is actually looking into almonds' potential gut health effects. In fact, recent research out of the Institute of Food Research in the UK has hypothesized that almonds may have a prebiotic effect that can help support the GI tract in maintaining immunity. Certainly more research and clinical studies are needed, but it's certainly an area of interest, and further exploration definitely will be coming here. It's also good to know that an ounce of almonds have 4 grams of fiber, which contribute to a healthy digestive tract. So, Luann, looking towards the future, what do you see as opportunities for growth in alternative dairy?
Oh, I think the super functional, as I mentioned, I think super premium as well. But at the same time, I think continuing to look for a simple ingredient list in plant-based. And maybe more complex products that still have a simple ingredient list. Whoever can crack the getting closer to imitating the dairy taste and texture, I think that's a huge opportunity for a big win, as well as the some of the sugar reduction added benefits, things like how do you better implement or better include more things like prebiotics, probiotics, fermentation technologies to create new consumer benefits as well. I think those are the things that we're going to be seeing more of in the coming period. for in the dairy alternative in the plant-based space. I think also maybe we didn't talk as much. I mentioned that consumers, you know, are looking for the right taste and texture. And I think also, well, we're talking about almonds today, but almonds and almond milk would be a great carrier for so many different flavors. So I think also when I mentioned like the increased hybridization, looking at plant milks as a base for other types of products like soups and things like that as well, I think we'll see a lot more value added opportunities in this space too.
That is really fascinating to think about almonds within soups and other ingredients. I can't wait to see what comes to life. Personally, though, I'm looking forward to continued investment in the ice cream category. So it's been great speaking with you and hearing your insights on how the alternative dairy world continues to grow and evolve. Is there anything else you'd like to share with our listeners before we wrap up?
Yeah, focus on taste and texture and know your consumer. I think that's the important thing. So even of all the things we talked about today, it really does come down to who is your consumer and what do they want? And I think the other thing that's really on my mind, it maybe it's become a pet peeve of mine is, and I think it's really driven by the sound bites of social media, is this everybody looking for this silver bullet, oversimplified solution. So I think that's an interesting thing to think about. We've talked about the environment today. That's certainly very complex, the metrics around the environment. So I was think it's fantastic to hear about some of the other environmental metrics, things like land use and so on. So when you're looking for opportunities, make sure that you stay open-minded and you think about, think broader maybe, and look for opportunities and ways to communicate with consumers that is, and you're not so myopic when it comes to, you know, the soundbitey, simplistic kind of solutions, because I think that's going to be part of the future as well, is this continuing conversation, explaining and being very transparent. And it will, yeah, hopefully reduce the need or the desire to oversimplify some of these things. Maybe that's too complicated, but it's definitely something on my mind within the context of the things that we talked about today when it comes to plant-based.
That's great, Luann. I'm so looking forward to seeing many of those trends come to life in the marketplace. And again, thank you for being with us and sharing your insights today. And thanks to our listeners for joining us on this episode of Almond Essentials. If you happen to be interested in further food and beverage analytics and expertise, head over to InnovaMarketInsights.com. And before we sign off, I wanted to encourage listeners to go to almonds.com or reach out to us with any questions about formulating with almonds. Make sure to check out our other episodes, which cover a range of topics, including performance and sports nutrition trends, what to consider when roasting almonds, current research looking at almonds' effects on skin health, and sustainable growing practices that help the industry continue to make on-farm improvements. See you next time.